Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, and I've got a new friend and a good friend in the studio with me today. Our paths have crossed for the past 2 years at the Berlin Fair, and with me today is Courtney Johnson. Hi, Courtney. Good morning.
Good morning, Ann. How are you?
I'm good. And I met this very talented young woman at the Berlin Fair because you were one of the contestants in Berlin's Got Talent both last year and this year, and you were a winner.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes, you're very talented.
Thank
really,
you so much.
Really good. And then you got to open for Jordan Oaks, right, on the big stage at
yes.
the Berlin Fair. What did that feel like?
That was incredible. I was so happy to be able to meet Jordan. And I know that Jordan received his start from the Berlin Fair. So it was just an absolute honor.
So why singing? Is it, I mean, obviously you've got a talent, but why are you so passionate about it? And is that maybe going to be your goal in life, you think?
I'm not sure. It was one of my dreams as a child, and then I was riddled with stage fright through my adolescence. And once I got over my stage fright, I decided I wanted to try again, and I wanted to show my kids that you're never too old to continue to chase your dreams.
Absolutely. Well, that's the good news, right? But we've also got something else that we want to talk about on this program today, and that is that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Personally, I have a little bit of a problem with these months, you know, months of awareness. I think we should all be aware 365 days a year. But I guess it's, you know, it's become kind of a thing. So if people aren't aware, you raise your profile during that month and hopefully more people get the help they need. So we're going to talk about an event that you've got coming up, and we're going to talk about why you're so involved in domestic violence and why the Prudence Crandall Center has such a special place in your heart. So I appreciate you because I know it's not easy for you to sit here and tell a story like the one that you're about to tell our listeners. So what happened?
Well, when I was in my early 20s, I started dating this guy that I thought was a very nice guy. I met him at a charity event, and we were kind of fast and furious in the beginning, and everything went quickly, and then he introduced me to his young daughter, and things just progressed as any regular relationship would. And as we moved forward, I started to notice things that were kind of not right. And I tried to leave a few times, and unfortunately, he was very charming and manipulative, and he was able to talk me back into being with him. And this went on for about 5 years, and it became volatile at the end, where he would try and convince me that if I slept with him, he would leave me alone. Or he would threaten me and say, well, how are you going to leave my daughter? How are you going to walk away from this?
Because at that point, you're probably very emotionally attached to his daughter, right?
Right.
5 years, and she was 5 years old at the time. Those are formative years where that relationship is established.
Right. And she was a beautiful little girl who just had
a
heart of gold.
Yeah, yeah. So he was a military guy and suffered an injury. So do you think that's kind of where things got... went haywire, you think?
I think he always had an addiction that I just was unaware of. And then once he finally dealt with the injury from the military, he ended up having a total knee replacement at the age of 30, which, if anybody knows anything about knee replacements, that's the earliest they will do one because they only last for about 15 years. So he will essentially end up having to have another surgery. But he became extremely addicted to pills. And I think that addiction started prior and only became worse after the surgery. And then his addiction just spiraled out of control. He was sneaking out in the middle of the night, stealing money from me. I was completely unaware. He was pulling checks from the back of a checkbook that was in the safe that I didn't even know were being used. I'll never forget, after I left, I went to go cash a check. And they told me I couldn't cash my check. And I looked at the bank teller. I was so confused. I'm like, what do you mean I can't cash my check? And she goes, your account is completely overdrawn. And I was pulled into the back room and they pulled up everything. And he had been writing checks from the back of the checkbook and depositing them through the ATM, forging my signature. So it was just spiraling and fast. And then the stalking began after I left, and the vandalism and the fear. And he had hacked my social media. He was now terrorizing. I ended up starting to date someone very soon after, which, you know, hindsight's 2020.
Right.
Never right. should have done that.
Right.
But he started stalking him. He was stalking me. I lost 11 tires in 6 months. They were slashed. The side door of my car had the word slut carved into it. I would try and go out with friends, and I could never be alone because everyone knew that if I was alone, I could be attacked. And I remember parking my car across the street from a bar, thinking it was underneath camera. And we would go in and out having a cigarette while we were drinking. And I was a big time karaoke girl. So we would be out singing, having a good time. And I remember leaving the bar that night and it was snowing. And I went to get into my truck and my entire back window had been smashed in. My back two tires had been slashed. And I went into the gas station to see if they had it on camera so that I could prove who did it. Because in my heart, I knew.
You know, yeah.
And somehow, magically, the cameras weren't working that night. Ugh. So there were several instances where it had almost seemed as though he had done, like, recon before he would follow me. Mm-hmm. Because every time my vehicle was attacked, I would think it was underneath a camera and those cameras weren't recording or they weren't working. And this went on from, I left September 12th of 2013. And I didn't finally get him behind bars until my birthday of 2014. It was November 5th of 2014 that I received the call from the Berlin Police Department.
So what do you do in a situation like that? At what point, and did you, go get a restraining order?
I did go get a restraining order in January of 2014.
But does it work?
It didn't. It didn't. He walked right through it. And I actually ended up in the police department office that afternoon after we walked out of court. He was told that he was to leave me alone. He needed to be careful about social media. And while we were in court, he signed all the paperwork, didn't put up a fuss, nothing. I left the Middletown Police Court, or the court, and I drove to the Waterbury Police Department because of the stalking and him following me. I had police reports in three different towns. So I had to leave court and go to Waterbury to meet with a different detective over a different scenario that he had caused. And while I was there, I noticed that my social media was blowing up. I was being threatened on Facebook. He had hacked into my Facebook and he was threatening me. And then he was posting stuff all over my wall saying that he was going to come and find me. He was going to.
Right after he walked out of court.
Right after we walked out of the court. You know, I ended up leaving Waterbury, driving right back to Middletown, and the police officer was screenshotting everything off my phone.
So they helped you out?
Yes. They had a warrant out for his arrest that day.
Good. So he ends up in jail for how long?
He was sentenced to 7 years. He was allowed to serve that sentence concurrently, which means that they overlap one another. So he was not in for a full 7 years. He was supposed to serve 5 because of that. And then he was offered parole after a year and a half. I had to go to the parole hearing in 2016.
And sit in front of him?
No. Luckily for me, what they do is they have you come into a room. He's on a screen while he's inside the jail.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a board. And the board members are the ones that he can see and they can see him.
That's I'm good. So because you're a domestic violence victim, they don't put you through that.
Correct.
Thank goodness.
They put us off to the side and my mother went with me. And I had letters from a fire department that we had both volunteered for that he had also committed fraud against. He had impersonated an officer and stolen gas. And I had a letter from my mom, and she read her letter. And I had my letter and letters from my employers, friends of mine. And we were luckily granted that he was not to get early parole. So he served 3 years and was put out on probation for 9 years, which I believe finally ended 5 years for good behavior.
Have you heard from him since?
No.
Thank God. Thank God.
I hope I never do.
So your life for how many years was just
so
living in fear every day?
Right. So I would say probably 2 years into the relationship, I knew I was going to have to get out. Mm-hmm. And then by the end, it was so bad that I knew if I didn't get out, I was going to die. And then when I got out is when I knew there was a huge possibility that my life was at risk every single day. So for a year, I fought. I fought as hard as I could. I wasn't going to hide. And I wasn't going to run. As much as I wanted to, I knew I needed to fight, because if I didn't, I wasn't going to be able to continue on enjoying my life. And I wasn't about to turn away and leave my family.
Right. So you go through all of that. Did you ever maintain a relationship with his daughter, or that was just the end of that?
No, I had to walk away.
You have to. You have to cut all ties, right, in
yep.
that situation. And too bad for her, because I'm sure the two of you had a wonderful relationship, but those all have to go. You can't have any ties, right?
Right.
So now here you are, Courtney, and you're an advocate for domestic violence victims. As you sit in front of me here with your beautiful purple hair, and purple is the color for domestic violence,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
Do you wear that purple hair with pride? I mean, it's kind of like, do you want people to ask you, why is your hair purple?
Sure. I'm an open book.
Uh-huh.
So there's nothing I'm too afraid to say, because if I don't use my voice, then I can't help anybody else.
Right.
And purple is the color of domestic violence, and I don't consider myself a victim. I consider myself a survivor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a great way to look at it. So, and we're going to be talking about a great event that you're behind called Shop for a Cause. And it's happening Friday, this Friday in Berlin, October 4th from 5 to 9. It's called the Third Annual Vendor and Craft Fair to Benefit the Prudence Crandall Center. Third annual. So you've been doing this for a little bit. Tell our listeners what this is all about, where the proceeds go, because Prudence Crandall is just an unbelievable place for victims of domestic violence. Like you, I have had the pleasure of having the Hope Tour, where they show you around and show you how they take in and nurture and help people heal from domestic violence. So tell us about your event.
So our event is spread across 3 different businesses. We are so fortunate that the 2 other major businesses in our building are also a part of the cause. So we have this year 22 vendors, and they will be spread between my salon, The Color Platform, with my business partner, Rose. We host vendors in our space. And then the owner of Fitness by Design, Megan Massenet, she hosts vendors. And then Pam from Provision State Coffee also hosts vendors. So we leave the doors open, and we have this beautiful patio, and people can walk in and out of all 3 spaces visiting all 22 vendors.
And what kind of vendors do you have?
We have everything from permanent jewelry to sunless tanning. We have other local businesses that may or may not have storefronts. So silk waxing from across the street, they come every year. We have mother and daughter crafters, mad crafters.
Oh, fun.
We have Floral Inspirations by Terry. She does a lot of different floral arrangements. We have Someday Sea Glass, which Gary is a phenomenal person. He goes out and he finds all these little pieces of sea glass, and he makes these beautiful little trinkets that they're just such pretty presents.
And you can't mention everybody because there's so many vendors on this list. So if you're listening and you're a vendor, sorry we didn't get to it, but we got so many other things to talk about. But it's going to be a great event. And this is, like you said, with your partner, you own the Color platform,
yes,
right? And if you want more information on Shop for a Cause, you can go to the website, thecolorplatform.com.
Yes.
Thecolorplatform.com. And congratulations on being a business owner. And so let's talk a little. We'll wrap this up at the end and give you more information on Shop for a Cause. Again, it's coming up this Friday, October 4th, from 5 to 9. So if you need to grab a pen, do it now. So how's life today, Courtney?
Life is fantastic. I am now married. I've been married for 7 years. And I have two beautiful sons.
And how old are your kids?
5 and 3.
Does your husband know what you've been through, obviously?
Yes. So during the back half of me fighting and continuing to try and get this guy behind bars and make this stop, my husband and I actually started dating. So we were old acquaintances, and we kind of rekindled something, and we ended up starting a date, and he actually knew the guy that I had been with before, and he understood how dangerous the situation was. And luckily for me, it did not stray him. He didn't walk away from it, and he very easily could, because it was a giant pain.
And it leaves scars, does it not?
Yeah. I was in and out of therapy for quite some time. I did things like take self-defense classes, mm-hmm, so that if anything were ever to happen or I would get grabbed, I would have a way to defend myself. And I took them with an old detective, and I also took them at a Taekwondo studio.
And so you felt like you at least had some sort of defense should you be in that situation?
Yes. I went through all the things that a survivor goes through, where you have to deal with the mental, the emotional, and then the physical, because you need to be able to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there are no excuses for anyone treating anybody, you know, an abusive relationship. There's no excuses for that. I'm sure the addiction was part of the driver for that. But now here you are, the mom and a survivor, and you've got two young sons. What will you tell them someday?
My husband and I are very aware that we're raising two young boys, and that they need to understand what respect is and what no is, and that they also need to see what a healthy relationship looks like. So my husband and I have always been very affectionate with one another, and we are affectionate and respectful to one another in front of the boys. And I consistently tell the boys that they need to listen, behave, and be kind, and the most important is always be kind. And I want them to know that kindness goes a long way, and understanding someone's space is important, because if they learn these small lessons now, when they are in dating relationships later, I'm hoping that they understand that when anyone, no matter who they're dating, puts a boundary in place, that they need to respect it.
Mm-hmm. You've probably seen a lot, too, in your volunteer work with domestic violence. I mean, there's, you know, we don't have the statistics. There are a lot of people out there that are in bad situations. But there are resources, right? Resources like Prudence Crandall. As you have interacted and spoken with other women and maybe even men in domestic violence situations, what's going on out there?
Oh, it's bad. And it's only getting worse. The Prudence Crandall Center has been around for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there constantly is a need for more services, whether it's housing, therapy, legal services. They're with you from the beginning to the end. They will help place you in a job. They will help get care for your children. They provide therapy. And there are so many different reasons that people end up in domestic violence situations. And a lot of it, unfortunately, begins with teen dating. A lot of it is, unfortunately, learned from the situation they grew up in. If you have an abusive parent and you're watching that, they're either abusing one another or they're abusing the children in the home, those cycles tend to repeat themselves. And it's hard to be a cycle breaker. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of these issues are coming from. It's not just...
It's generational.
Right. It's not just addiction.
No. It's not. You're absolutely right. And, you know, the other thing is, I mean, even when I was going to leave my... It wasn't domestic violence, but it was infidelity. When it's like just the thought of what goes into leaving, you know, that you lose... maybe all of your income because maybe that person's the breadwinner. That where do you go and how do you start all over? And if kids are involved, where do they go? How do I stay safe? How do I get the, you know, there's that sometimes it's just too much.
Right.
You know, it's easier to stay than it is to get out, just in our mind. But if you get those resources to help you through the process, I believe that's half the battle, literally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I wish I had known that the Prudence Crandall Center existed because at the time I didn't. And when I was going through everything in court and I was getting these letters, I was being assigned domestic violence advocates, but they were with the court system. I had no idea that something like the Prudence Crandall Center existed. And that's why I pour my heart into it, because I want people to know it's there. I want people to know there's help. There's somebody that cares and they will help you.
And the beauty of it is, too, that they're there. And they've been there for 50 years, and the stories, the success stories, and the survivors that have come out of their help, you know, that have survived and thrived because they had those resources, their stories are amazing. More people like you willing to give a voice to it and say, look, if you get the help and the assistance, this can be you 5, 10, 20 years from now.
Absolutely. And I've met some of those incredible people, and one of them says she feels like she was forged in fire. And I couldn't have felt that more when she spoke that day about everything that she went through to get out with her two young girls. And now she is thriving. She is successful. She has a career of her own. And she is everything she needs to be and more for those two little girls.
That's fantastic. Well, if you'd like to color your hair purple for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, you can go to the color platform, right?
Absolutely.
In Berlin. I'm sure that you don't have to do, you'll do whatever color people want, correct?
Absolutely. Okay.
So check them out. Thecolorplatform.com is where you can find information on Shop for a Cause. It's going to be a beautiful fall day. Let's already, you know, manifest that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. There will be no rain.
The doors will be open, and there's a cozy blanket company that's going to be there. That one interests me. I love my cozy blanket.
Well, and if we have any sweet addicts, the Little Bake Shop, she's a cottage bakery in Berlin, and she had some phenomenal little treats last year, so I'm super looking forward to that.
Love my sweets too. And there's also, you know, bring some cash when you go to an event like this, because there's going to be a big raffle. Right?
Yes.
With some great prizes. And then the proceeds go to the Prudence Crandall Center from the vendors that are paying to be there and from the raffle itself. So
yes, we also accept monetary donations directly to the Prudence Crandall Center. We will have a representative there with their own table can learn more about the Prudence Crandall Center. And if you check the Prudence Crandall Center's website, they're always looking for certain types of donations.
Yes.
We do take physical donations all the time. We are constantly accepting donations, and we do frequent drop-offs to the Prudence Crandall
Center. So would it be okay if people went to their website and then saw that they need, let's say, pots and pans or new blankets?
Absolutely.
Or new sheets? But go to the website first, because sometimes we think what we're getting rid of might be useful, and maybe it's not a need that they have at this time.
Yes.
So it's not Goodwill. They have specific needs for specific people and individuals. So if you can, go to their website as well and check it out. All right. Again, it is October 4th, this Friday, from 5 to 9 p.m. And the location is 848 Farmington Avenue in Berlin.
Yes.
Right? Well, Courtney Johnson, thank you so much for being here, telling your story. You're such a bright light.
Thank you so much.
I met you last year at Berlin's Got Talent, I'm like, there's something special about this girl. You can, even regardless of what you've been through, I think you've taken that and you've made yourself stronger and you've made yourself more vibrant. It hasn't dulled your light at all.
Thank you.
All right. we'll have a great event. I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to stop by and see if I can't buy a cozy blanket and maybe some chocolates.
Yes, yeah. I love that.
I'm not going to be going purple with the hair, though. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Just wear your purple shirt.
There you go. But in all seriousness, October is Domestic Violence Month, but there's a lot of victims out there 365 days a week. So if you know someone that needs help or you need help, resources online, and there are people out there that have been through it and can help you get through it yourself, right?
Yes.
All right. Thanks to all of you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use. Again, I'm Ann Baldwin. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll be back here, same time, same place, next Sunday morning on WTIC News Talk 1080.